The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 27, verses 27 to 56. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, and they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spat on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After that, they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to be crucified. As they were going out, they took a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar and put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's just pray as we think for a few moments about the cross of Christ. Let me just lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you for your great love for each one of us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. thank you for his cross. And we pray that our eyes may be open to see him more clearly, our ears open to hear his voice, and our hearts changed that we may follow him, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by congratulating Arlo on his baptism. Today is a great day for joy and celebration, and I hope that you all have a wonderful day as you celebrate together for Arlo's baptism. In a few moments' time, Andy is going to sign Arlo with the sign of the cross. And he's going to tell him not to be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ crucified. Now, it seems in many ways a strange thing to do. I mean, why on earth would you want to celebrate a vicious means of execution? Well, today is Passion Sunday. It's the Sunday when the church remembers the sufferings of Christ. How he was the victim of a terrible injustice at his trial. How he was mocked and ridiculed by his enemies. How he was betrayed and deserted by his friends. How his death was excruciatingly painful, and how the worst part was being abandoned by the God he loved. Listen again to Jesus' cry of dereliction from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And it's the cry, isn't it, of a man who feels utterly alone. Even God has left him, and he's in deepest darkness. And there may be times when we feel like that. Indeed, there may be some this morning as you sit here, and you feel, yes, that is exactly how I feel. Going through a dark tunnel, and there doesn't seem to be any light at the end of it. And even God has abandoned me. Where is God, we cry? Why has he forsaken me? So what does Jesus' suffering say to us? How can it help us when we suffer? And I believe it tells us, firstly, that God has suffered like us. Because when we suffer, it often feels as though God doesn't care. It can seem as though he is a cosmic sadist who delights to hurt us, sitting on a cloud, immune and indifferent to our pain. Nothing could be further from the truth. Because God himself has suffered like us. The Christian God is God on a cross. A lonely, twisted, tortured figure. Nails through hands and feet. Back lacerated. Limbs wrenched. Brow bleeding. Mouth dry and intolerably thirsty, plunged in God-forsaken darkness. And no, he doesn't answer all our questions about suffering, but we know that God understands, that he hasn't remained isolated from our pain, because in the cross, Christ has walked where we walk. Christ, said someone, is able to share with us the pain of desertion, the loneliness of suffering, the the darkness of depression, the bewilderment of circumstances, and the agony of death, because he has been there. And there's no depth into which he hasn't plunged. And that can help us when we suffer, help us to endure. Like Jesus, we can cry out when we suffer. Jesus' raw cry of lament, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we too can cry, echoing Jesus. We can know that God is with us in our suffering, because he has suffered like us. But he hasn't just suffered like us. Because secondly, God has suffered for us. And I suspect we're all aware, I'm sure we're all aware, that we live in a suffering and broken world. We look at the oppression, the violence, the war. We see abuse, injustice, greed, pollution. And we ask, why is the world like that? And maybe we ask, why doesn't God do something about it? And the Bible says he will. Jesus says there's going to be a day of reckoning. God is going to judge those who do evil. God is going to restore his good creation. And that's good news. It's what we long for. The point is that God can't just ignore evil and sweep it under the carpet. That wouldn't be love. That would be indifference. A friend of mine said recently, divine wrath is divine love refusing to tolerate evil. And God's anger isn't God having a bad hair day. It's God showing compassion for all that he made, for the people, for the world that he created. It's his anger at evil destroying all that God loves. And that too is what we want. We want to see evil ended and justice triumphant. But it leaves us with a problem, doesn't it? Because none of us is innocent. We've all walked out on God, even the best of us. We may just dismiss the idea of God altogether. Or we may treat him like a divine drinks dispenser. And that's why we get angry with God when he doesn't deliver the goods. But either way, we've all resisted God's rule, pushing him to the margin of our lives or leaving him out of the picture altogether. And the result is that we're separated from God, cut off from the life he wants for us. So what hope have we got in the face of God's judgment? And that's where we need to come back to the cross of Christ. Jesus, who was the one person who never sinned, who lived the perfect life, who always did what his Father wanted, who enjoyed his Father's presence. And yet judgment fell on Jesus. Because Jesus chose to bear the judgment that we deserve. That's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he didn't just feel forsaken, he was forsaken. Jesus was forsaken on the cross in order that we don't need to be. the Apostle Peter wrote, Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, to bring you to God. And that's how much he loves us. And it means that exile is over, separation is ended for those who return to God, who turn to him in repentance and trust in Christ. God invites us to come to him. He welcomes us with open arms. He forgives our disobedience and our idolatry. He gives us a new life. And it's not just for us personally, because one day exile will be over for all creation. Yes, there is still suffering now, but one day there's going to be a new world, a world free from pain and suffering, a world free from injustice and oppression, a world in which heaven, which is God's realm, and earth, which is our realm, will be joined together, and God will live among his people. And that's what we're yearning for. And it's what Jesus' death accomplished. God has suffered like us. God has suffered for us. And we may cry out like Jesus. But we can be sure that he understands. And we can be sure that believers will never be forsaken. So I want to end with a poem which was written in the aftermath of the First World War. Edward Shillitoe was shattered by the carnage and suffering, but he took comfort in the wounds of Christ. If we have never sought, we seek thee now. Thine eyes burn through the dark, our only stars. We must have sight of thorn pricks on thy brow. We must have thee, O Jesus of the scars. The heavens frighten us, they are too calm. In all the universe we have no place. Our wounds are hurting us. Where is thy balm? Lord Jesus, by thy scars, we claim thy grace. If, when the doors are shut, thou drawest near, only reveal those hands, that side of thine. We know today what wounds are, have no fear. Show us thy scars. We know the countersign. The other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stumble to a throne. But to our wounds only God's wounds can speak. And not a god has wounds, but thou alone. And that's why Jesus is the only God I can believe in, the only one who is worthy of my worship, the only one whom I can love and follow and trust and obey. And I pray that that may be true of you as well.